Thanks for joining us today for our Thursday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
So we're going through the Ten Commandments, and right now we're upon the sixth commandment, which you shall not murder. You would think that that would be clear enough. Okay? You shall not murder. But I have 15 pages worth of notes that say it's not enough. All right? So we get a greater understanding of what this means. This commandment does not say you shall not kill. It doesn't say that. It says you shall not murder. Kill is a different word than murder. Okay? We have these two words up here, Hebrew words. The word kill in the Hebrew is harag, means to kill, it means to slay. This is the word you would use when you kill an animal. Okay? The word murder in the Hebrew is ratsak, and it means murder, premeditative murder, to slay someone who is innocent. That is the word that's used here for the sixth commandment. You shall not murder is what the word is here. The word used here was so you shall not, if the word was used here, if it was the word harag, then you couldn't kill anyone. For any reason. And some of you might say, well, you shouldn't kill anybody for any reason. Not true. Okay? If someone's going around on a playground shooting kids, I think we should be able to kill that person. Okay? I think we should. When it comes to self-defense, some maniac comes in to your house and you have a gun and they have a knife and they seem to want to bring a knife to a gunfight, I think you should be able to shoot them. And kill them and stop them from murdering your family. When it comes to war against an evil nation, such as the Nazis in Germany back in World War II, as they were practicing genocide on the Jews, I think you go to war and kill them to stop them from doing that. The Hebrew word ratsak is used 47 times in the Old Testament. Every time it speaks of taking an innocent human life. Every time. That's when you use that word, ratsak. When it comes to murdering an innocent person, okay? When it comes to, I just killed that mosquito. Nobody says, I just murdered that mosquito, okay? Because you can only murder a human. You can only murder a human. Can't murder an animal, okay? Ratsak can only happen to a human being, murder. And so, again, it's taking innocent human life. This is not talking about killing those who deserve to be killed, such as, again, that person shooting children on a playground or someone wanting to do harm to your family. Murder can only happen against humans. And so I've heard the objection, well, capital punishment is just state murder. No, it's not. Let's look at that for a moment. Is it wrong to hold someone against their will? Yes, right? It is. So if I had some big burly ushers come down and just take you away and hold you for 5 years, you would say, I think that's wrong. Okay? Well, and I would agree with you. Okay? As a matter of fact, that's called kidnapping. Even though you're not a kid and there's probably not going to be a whole lot of napping going on. We got to figure out another reason why they call it that, but we'll get into that now. But if we take someone to jail for a crime they've committed and hold them there in jail for 5 years, is that kidnapping? It's not. It's not. And so you can see how, if you say that, you know, capital punishment is just state murder and killing is killing and murder is still murder, it doesn't matter how. No, there are different circumstances for that. Context determines what is happening here. So if you take someone, hold them against their will in prison because they've committed a crime, it's not the same thing as kidnapping. You wouldn't say, well, state kidnapping is happening there. You wouldn't say that because that's stupid. And just like saying that capital punishment is state murder would also be stupid for that same logic. And so not all actions are the same, and context determines whether the action is right or wrong. And so there's no such thing as that all killing is wrong. That's an illogical statement, as we've just kind of shown there. The law of Moses commanded the death penalty for various reasons, okay? For murder being one in Exodus 21:12, also for kidnapping, also for bestiality, also for adultery, also for homosexuality, also for being a false prophet, also for prostitution, also for rape. And there's several other reasons. However, for the purposes of today, we are only going to go over the death penalty for murder. Okay, for murder. Now, there's a reason for this, is because people say, well, you know, the death penalty is just in the Old Testament. And when they say that, what they mean is that it's just under the law of Moses. Well, it's not just under the law of Moses. Okay, those other ones that we mentioned, yeah, from the law of Moses. And guess what? We're not under the law anymore. Those things are still sin, but we don't carry out that punishment. Then why do we do it for capital punishment when it comes to murder? Because that was the rule that was given upon the earth before Israel became a nation and before the law was given. Go over here to Genesis. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Few things have happened before chapter 9, chapters 1 through 8, for one. And so you have God creating the world, and then, you know, then they fall in the garden, and then they're kicked out of Eden. And from chapters 4 through 8, we get to see what the world was like, okay, during that time before the flood. And we see Cain killing Abel. We see Lamech killing a young man and then bragging about it. And then we have this record in Genesis 6, 5. It says, "And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then verse 11 says, "The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." So God destroys the earth with the flood and saves the only righteous people that were on the earth, and that's Noah and his family. So eight people, okay? And so it's after the flood. Now we only have eight people on the entire earth, okay? And we have chapter 9 here. And here in chapter 9, God says this in verse 1, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and all move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Surely for your life blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it. From the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you." So, we read this and we see here that Noah and his family, these rules were given to him, and also from what it says there in verse 9, "And behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you." Well, who are the descendants after Noah? Who are Noah's descendants? All of us. Everybody who lived on the face of the earth after the flood, guess what? They're all descendants of Noah. So this decree, this mandate, this covenant is being given to all mankind. It's not being given just to Israel. Okay? That doesn't happen until much, much later, where that is reaffirmed, death penalty for murder. Okay? As we just read in Exodus 20. With the sixth commandment there. So, knowing that, we have these rules that were given. Some see these as two rules, some see them as three. I broke them down to four, okay? It says to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, that's kind of tough to do if you're allowed to murder someone, okay? So I'm trying to fulfill the earth and, you know, multiply, but he keeps killing everyone. He keeps murdering them. All right, well, we should probably have a law for that. And so they do. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Yum, yum, yum. So glad for that. Do not eat flesh with its life, its blood. I know a lot of you say, oh, I love my steak rare. I love a bloody. Okay, well, that's not blood. Okay, that's protein. That is the red, juicy, oh, I'm hungry right now. For a steak, as a matter of fact. We don't eat flesh with its blood. Okay? Death penalty for those who murder, verses 5 through 6. That's pretty much the bottom line as we go into this new world, because the old world, guess what? There weren't rules like that. And so Cain did slay Abel, and nothing happened to Cain in the way of his life being taken and things like, and what happened? The world grew very, very corrupt. So this time, in order to curb that, guess what? You will not murder. And if you do, guess what? You're going to be killed. You're going to be killed. So in verse 5, it says, surely for your life blood, I will demand a reckoning. Life blood in the Hebrew, nefesh sote, it means blood guilt is what that word means. It means blood guilt. Those guilty of shedding blood intentionally. God requires a reckoning, which means you now owe God. And what you owe God is the life of the one who shed man's blood. That's what you owe. From the hand of every beast, I'll require it. So if there's an animal that kills a human, that animal is supposed to be killed. This shows that the life of an animal does not have the value of a man. As a matter of fact, later on in Leviticus, it says if you kill someone's animal, all you're supposed to do is replace it. You don't die because of it. Leviticus 24:17. Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good, animal for animal. Whoever kills an animal shall restore it, but whoever kills a man shall be put to death. Thus, God is showing that animals and mankind are not equal in value. So all those of the organization of PETA, you're wrong when you say animals are people too. No, they're not. Okay? God makes that very clear. Mankind is created in God's image. Animals are not. Verse 5 again says, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Notice that it is God who requires the blood of that person who has murdered that other person. And notice who's to be the agent to carry out this justice. Man is. By man his blood shall be shed. So when people say, who are we to play God by taking someone's life? You're not playing God, you're obeying God. And that's very important to understand. You're obeying God by doing that. Man is God's agent to carry out all judicial laws, and specifically the death sentence. And so you can't argue from a biblical point of view that that you are not to put to death the murderer. God makes it very clear mankind is to carry out the death penalty for murder under his authority. And notice the main reason for why murder is wrong. Because you were created in the image of God. For in the image of God, he made man. It's precisely for this reason that someone who takes another life, you're taking a life that was created in the image of God. It is God who put his stamp of himself on us. To deface the king's image was considered treason in the ancient world and shows your hatred against the king. To murder someone who is made in God's image is to deface God, and it shows that you have hatred towards God. The person, according to God, then needs to be killed. It really is that simple. And so God's mandate on murder is clear. Mankind is to kill the murderer. And we see this time and time again as we go through God's word. Okay, Dave, but what if it's an accident? Wonder if it's not intentional. Wonder if there's so many other variables. I get that. And so does God, by the way. So does God. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, starting in verse 12 here. It says, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. Again, making it very, very simple. Reaffirming, okay, what we just read in chapter 9 of Genesis. However, if he did not lie in wait, it wasn't intentional. But God delivered him into his hand. How does God deliver someone into his hand? Well, you know, it was basically his time to go. Okay. I was out there weeding in my field, and I'm throwing these stones this way, that way, and it just happened to hit him perfectly in the temple, and he died instantly. That's kind of the act of God that's being spoken of. I delivered them into your hand. I allowed for that to happen, kind of a thing. Then I will appoint for you a place where you may flee. So you're innocent, but nobody knows you're innocent. There's facts that need to be found out. So you have to go to a place while they do all those kind of things. And so there's a place for you to flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. So again, if it's premeditated, guess what? The sentence is going to be death. Now, I want you to go to Numbers 35. This expands a little bit more of what it is that you're going to go to a city to run to and things like that. So in Numbers 35, we get a greater understanding of what is being spoken of here in the Exodus account. And it says here in verse 9, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger. Underline that, avenger. That's going to come up time and time again in God's word. It's in reference to coming back to here. The avenger is going to be people of the victim's family, okay, that are going to want to avenge the death of their family member that's been killed. But this guy did it accidentally. That manslayer may not die till he stands before the congregation in judgment. So again, we have him standing there before the congregation of judgment. It's a place for the manslayer to go until all the facts are sorted out. The congregation of judgment means there will be judges in these cities that are going to determine what really happened. And so the avenger of blood will have to wait until the judges decide, was this accidental? Was it not accidental? Let's talk to the witnesses who saw this happen. You know, was there a motive behind it? You know, all those kind of things is what they will do. And so the cities of refuge was a place to go until all the facts have been sorted out. All right. So then he goes on and says in verse 13, and of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. And you shall appoint these cities on the side of Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. And these six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. So it's not just for the citizens of Israel. It's for anybody, foreigner, stranger, that's going through the land, and they accidentally kill someone, they can also go to the cities of refuge. So it's the same laws for them as for the citizens themselves. Okay? And then it says in verse 16, but if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he's a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. It was an accident. Well, what'd you kill him with, a sword? All right, well, see how that flies. And if he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and if he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Okay? So the avenger of blood himself shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. If he pushes him out of hatred, or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in enmity, he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall be put the murderer to death when he meets him. So if what's the motive? You know, I hate that guy. I've always hated that guy. You know, and so you have that malice in your heart. And so then, and everybody knows about that, all right? And then all of a sudden you accidentally killed him? There's motive there. Everybody has known for a long time how much you hated this guy, okay? And so, again, the judges in the cities will be able to determine. They're going to sort out all the facts. Okay, we have motive. We've known that you've hated him for a long time. We have witnesses. There's three of them. They saw you do this. They saw and heard you days before saying, I'm going to kill you, whatever it might be. They gather all the facts, and you've now, this person, no, but it was an accident. It's like, no, you murdered him. And so they make that determination there. They get to do that. And so he goes on, and it says, verse 24, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return into the city of refuge where he fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who is anointed with the holy oil. So if they determine that that again he wasn't seeking him harm, that he wasn't didn't have malice in his heart, then he needs to remain there in the city until the high priest dies. Okay? Now this is fascinating to me. It's when the high priest died, then you're free to go. Okay? Who is our high priest? Jesus. It's interesting to me that by his death, we are also set free from the bondage of sin. You know? And so I do believe that there is a shadowing there of the high priest that also speaks of in the day that the high priest dies, speaking of the ultimate high priest, Jesus, when he dies, that's going to set us free from the bondage of all sin. So, but if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city refuge where he fled, and the avenger blood finds him outside the limits of a city of refuge, and the avenger blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. So before they even find out whether he's guilty or not, and the guy goes out and it isn't under the protection of the city, if the manslayer is found by that family, well, he has no one to blame but himself, is what's being said here. Because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And these things shall be a statue of judgment to you throughout your generations and all your dwelling. And whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. Plural. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against a person for the death penalty. Moreover, you shall take no ransom for the life of the murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. You shall take no ransom from him who has fled to this city of refuge, that he may return to dwell in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. Therefore, do not defile the land which you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell. For I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. So this is another reason why you have capital punishment. You remove the murderer from your land. Because if you don't, your land is defiled. It's defiled by that innocent blood. Okay? And you're not supposed to take a ransom for the life of the murderer. That means rich people don't get off. Okay? I'm sorry. Okay, here's $100,000. Okay, then we aren't going to convict you and we're not going to kill you for the murder. No, that's not right. Okay? And so it is, you take the life of the one who murdered. That is what you do. And understand, I find this absolutely interesting as well. Deuteronomy 17:6, just like it says in verse 30 here, whoever deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Why? Because it's his word against yours. Her word against yours.
Neither death nor even life. That concludes this Thursday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Listen in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.